Okay. We're starting with the wedding.
Okay.
At the wedding, few things to keep in mind. Under the chuppah, you should have in mind Kiddushin and Pru Revu. That's the brachos on Pru Revu for the rest of your life. So, have that in mind. You shouldn't talk from the first bracha until the end of the Sheva brachos. Meaning the first bracha before the Kiddushin until the end of the Sheva brachos. So,
no talking.
No talking. And that way you have in mind that the bracha is on all of it.
Until the end of the Sheva bracha. Okay.
Okay. Wine. Unless you have a Masara Kedushin like mine, who was makpid on using specifically red wine,
white
people
wine.
Recommend white wine because it doesn't stain as much if it spills. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal had a hakpada that the Ede Bedekin be the Ede Kedushin.
I'm only having two Ede.
Okay, good. And the Ede Yichud are also the same too? Okay.
Only
the Ede Yichud should know what you both look like.
It's a good thing they're my friends. But...
Okay, good. And they know her?
They do know her, yes.
Okay, great. If the Ksuba is being signed under the chuppah, and it's not, okay? If the ksuba is being signed on the chuppah and the chuppah is at night, so, you know, close to Shkia, so it makes sense to do the kinyan already during the chasen stish. Get that done already. Rav Lichtenstein even made a point of saying to me, this kinyan you're doing means that all the conditions of the ksuba take place now. If the wedding were to not take place at this point,
you would still
owe everything in the ksuba.
Okay.
You wouldn't need a get. Because you didn't marry her.
Okay.
But you would still owe her the money and the Tanai Kedushin, Tanai Ksuba already at that point.
Got it.
Okay. Fine. The wedding night.
The wedding night.
Also, wait. Yichud room?
Yeah.
You know, obviously follow the Seder Kedushin. It's different Shito, 10 minutes, 18 minutes, etc. Wedding night.
Wedding night.
One of the things that could happen, and we hope doesn't happen, and hopefully we're taking care of it,
is
if she's poris nida, as in the middle of being with her. This is an issue for your whole life in general, but if the woman is poris nida, so we have a rule that. What's usur is not only entering the woman, meaning men get hana both from the going in and coming out when it comes to penetration.
Okay.
And you are not allowed to do either of those actions to a woman who is a nida.
Okay.
So if you are inside a woman who is pores nida, so you are not allowed to just pull out, because that would just be violating that as well. So what you have to do is you're separated with what we call an aver mate. Meaning, you wait till you're no longer erect, and so the Gemara's term is no eitz tziporav bakarka. You dig in, and just wait till you go soft, and then you go out without having the friction from the erection giving you any anah. At that point, while you're stuck there, if shechat zera happens and there's nothing to do about it, maybe an element of tshuva, but like, if you can't help it, then you can't help it. But the goal is, if that happens, that you separate with an aver mate. So you have to stop what you're doing, relax, hold it, and then you can separate.
Pores nida just literally means that she
becomes nida.
Bleeding.
Okay. If it's the first time in a young woman, so more and more literature is coming out that fewer and fewer people have Dam Betulim on their wedding night. And it has nothing to do with having slept around. Society, people, you know, all sorts of activities and ways that they develop and it happens, you know, on its own. Like people say, from horseback riding and all sorts of other activities, it could happen. So don't be surprised if there aren't Dam Betulim. But I'm going to go through both eventualities, what to do if there are Dam Betulim, what to do if there aren't Dam Betulim.
Okay.
If there are Dam Betulim, okay? So the Gemara has a machloke, what do we do? How long do we give the person to assume it's Dam Betulim and otherwise becomes Dam Nida? Nowadays, we don't know the difference, so we have to assume all blood is problematic. But it used to be Dam Betulim were mutter and Dam Nida was problematic.
Right.
So basically, you're allowed to do Bia, a first Bia, until there's blood. But you don't have to stop the first Bia when there's blood, meaning if there's Dam Betulim. Meaning you can continue until you're done. That means once you are inside her, even if you see some blood, you don't have to pull out. And even though I said normally Pores Nido you have to pull out, but here where it's Dam Betulim, you are allowed to stay in and finish. In fact, you're allowed to stay in as long as you like, meaning comfortable for both of you in a consensual manner, but even after Shechvat Zera, meaning even after you've released, you can wait there, staring into each other's eyes, whatever it is you want to do, but you can stay there. But after Prisha, after you come out, even if it's by accident, in other words, even if you haven't done Shechvat, even if you haven't released, even if you're still erect, so at that point, the Isser Negiyah and the Harchakot would apply. Meaning, so as long as you're in, you can stay in, even if there's blood. But if there's blood, once you come out, on purpose, by accident, doesn't matter, you're not allowed back in. Forget it, not allowed back in, you're not allowed to touch her anymore. There is an exception to the Harchakot at this point, which we said that one of the Harchakot we mentioned was being on her bed, and that one Harchakot doesn't apply this one time. You're allowed to be on her bed, even in front of her. But all the other harchakos, not passing things to each other or whatever, that still applies. So that's where there was Dam Betulim, and you did Maisa Bia. So you do the Maisa Bia, you continue the Maisa Bia until you're done, and once you come out, you have to separate. That is the best case scenario where there is Dam Betulim. Okay, now we're going to give you the best case scenario where there isn't Dam Betulim, and then we're going to give you some not as good scenarios. Okay, without Dam Betulim, we assume that there, meaning we act as though there was. So in other words, you're allowed one Maisa Bia, complete, full, penetrate her, and finish. And once you're done, you have to separate. Meaning, you can stay in as long as you want, but once you've separated, now, once again, Isser Negiyah, Harchakot, all apply.
This is regardless, right? This is,
regardless of whether there was blood. Or
then
low blood.
Then she's Nida.
Then she's Nida. Okay? Meaning, we're going to assume there was blood, it was hidden, you didn't see it, etc. But even without blood, all those rules apply. That you have to, once you separate, But the difference is, if you separate by accident and there wasn't blood, you're allowed back in. Meaning, you're allowed to finish a Maisa Bia if there wasn't blood and you separated by accident, you're allowed back in. But once you've released and you're done with a Maisa Bia, so that's considered done. And even if there wasn't blood, we act as though there was blood and you're usher to each other at that point, to touch and etc. All the rachakos that we said. So if there wasn't blood, so it's simple in that manner, because you don't know if you're, meaning, because there was no blood, and if you haven't completed a Maisa Bia, you're able to get back in. The problem is, if there was blood and you come out and you can't get back in, then we have to deal with this for another month, etc. Same idea. Okay. There's a lot to be sensitive to the first night and the first few months in terms of the act of relations. Baruch Hashem, we're hopefully talking about B'nai Yeshivot and from people, so they lack experience in this area, Baruch Hashem. So here's what to expect. Okay, clumsiness, awkwardness, not knowing exactly how to line yourselves up and set yourselves up, that it fits right in. There could be uncomfortable for you, from her. If you're fasting that day, you could be weak from the fast. You could be weak from the really labidic dancing you had at your wedding. It could be 1 a.m., okay, 2 a.m., because you got back and you have to, you know, schlep in all the gifts in the car and all the food from the caterer, etc. So many things are going on. It's also very, very tough on the kala, and you have to be sensitive to this, because she's anxious. Number one, she's heard it's painful, especially the first time. Number two, for you and her, the act is very different. She is being entered. So there's like a sense of violation that you have to, okay? So sometimes it can happen that you don't actually consummate it on the first night. It doesn't work. You can't get in. She's too tense. Okay, then the only way to deal with that is to relax. And telling her to relax in a very tense tone isn't going to make her relax. Just relax, just relax. We'll give it in. We'll do it. No, no, no. That doesn't work. So understand that it can take a few days. And you'll try one night. And because, you know, you could be very excited and very aroused. And you try and you might lose it. You might release outside. Okay? So Rav Kanu Hall, in that book, I said, nope, as long as it's the couple together trying, that's not Shechvat Zera Levatola. Okay, don't feel bad. That happens. It's normal, new couple. Okay, that's what we're trying to deal with. And if you, the more you, lo nora, we'll deal with this, we'll get through this together, I love you, the better it's going to be. The more tense you are about, oh no, and how come it's not working. So it's like a cycle. It's catching, you know, the work. It's going to keep getting worse. So you have to have that in mind to deal with that. Also, you come home from your wedding. You're probably going to be schwitzy, like I said, from the labidic dancing. So you don't want to shower. Okay. So one of you will shower at a time. It may this be an issue that you're so attracted and aroused by your wife, Admei Avesim Shana. It could certainly be a problem on your wedding night, and it could be a problem the next few times, and it could be, maybe a problem a long time, that the thought, like sometimes you'll be going to bed, and you'll be going to shower first, and the thought of her, that you're about what you're about to do, gets you so excited, you may lose it in the shower, okay? So it may take some time till you get it up again, and you could be with her, and again, that's all normal. Now we try to limit that, and, you know, try to focus on other things for the minute, so that doesn't happen on your wedding night, especially because of the pressure. But in general, that's just something to realize that we deal with as men and married couples, etc. Okay. We discussed blood and no blood. But both of those scenarios I gave you assumed one thing. That there was a full masa bia done with what we'll call kol ha'ever. Your entire aver was inside her. Okay? In such a case, even if there was no blood, but you did it, you're done. And we separate just the same way. The question is, when there's not kol aver and there was blood, so nonetheless you have to separate. But what about when there was no blood and it's not kol aver? And that's where you might have to ask a shayla. Okay. Because with the kol aver, we said all the rules apply, just like as though there was blood. When it's not kol aver, then you have a problem. Now, we may, if you're not sure, so then we may be makel, because the sveik sveika, tsar, covered up briot, etc. If you're not sure how much went in, so then we're makel. But if you're sure that all of it went in, then you have to separate. If you're sure not all of it went in, you're allowed to try again before you have to separate. Because there was no blood, you have the luxury of trying again the next night. Okay? So that's one of the times where there's advantage when there's no blood, where you didn't complete the masabiyah and you know you don't have to separate. Okay. After Bia Rishona, there's a special rule that the Shiva Nikayan can start after 4 days. We have this rule, right? I told you Shiva Nikayan always starts after 5 days. Here are the exceptions. Shiva Nikayan can start after 4 days, after Bia Rishona, or if the first day was Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, or Avelos. Okay. Some, as a kula for people who sometimes have infertility, or what's misnomer, sometimes referred to as halachic infertility, which is that their most fertile day would be day five, would be day seven of their Shiva Nikayan, and because they waited 5 days, that's 12 days, and they can't do it, so we want them to be able to start on their 11th day. So what sometimes as a kula, what we'll do is that they'll skip a month where there wasn't any bia, and then that next month they could start four, because otherwise we say low plug, and you always have to wait five, meaning even if you didn't have bia on the last day of the month, we said low plug. But if the whole month there wasn't any, so then we would allow that. That's a kula for infertility, but that's a side point. But here, just in general, here Shiva Nikayan can start after 4 days. But basically, for a lot of people, this is a moot point. Why? Because she's on birth control. Now, if she's on birth control, and she's going to stop taking birth control, let's assume for the minute, I don't know, if you get a psak for birth control in general, that's a could be a different story. Consult with your doctor. But for the people who the birth control is just to get them through the wedding night, tahor, so then they should only stop taking the birth control once they've consummated the marriage with Bia. Then, after you stop taking birth control, the women tend to get their period a day or two later.
And then that cancels out the 4 days anyways.
And then you have to wait five from that. Meaning, from a period, you have to wait five.
Right.
It's only from the special Dam Betulim wedding night, you only have to wait four. So if she's still on a birth control or happens to not get her period afterwards, like if a woman weren't on the pill, meaning if it was naturally tahor for her, so she could do it, and then you would wait the 4 days and 7 days, and then you have 11 days later, and then you could just be together. And eventually she'll get her period, but doesn't necessarily have to be 2 days later. But if it's from the pill, so she doesn't get it 2 days later. So anyway, and then at that point, all the harachakos apply. There's not that special dispensation about sitting on her bed, and you have to wait 5 days, and everything all back to normal.
Well, okay. Starting normal.
Starting normal, correct. Yes. Okay. If it sometimes happens that there's not all the blood of the Dam Betulim was removed the first time when there is blood. So it could be a doctor visit can help to check that, or you just risk it, and a lot of people do, which just means it could be a little frustrating because the second time there could be blood too. And then, and again, you have to separate and go through the whole process. So just something to know about and deal with so that okay, just be prepared mentally for that possibility. If there is blood, there can again be blood. So if that happens a second time, definitely go to the doctors. It doesn't happen a third time, because especially for a young couple just starting their relationship, that's a lot to handle. Fine. Shulchan Aruch said that there's no hotzarat zera levatala if you do what's called biat kol haaretz, which means that if the man is penetrating the woman vaginally, then at that point, it is not, can't be Hotzar Zara Levatala. Based on that, the Igros Moshe writes that when a woman does need birth control, and then there's a, you know, when those Aterim apply, so she should be using a pill or a spermicidal foam, which in general is not 100%, which makes it even better halachically. The better something is a birth control, the worse it is halachically. So vice versa. So, but therefore, not a condom, because that's not considered bias kol ha'aretz. The Chazon Ish thought, no, nonetheless, that's hashchata zera levatala, and that's aser. But then again, the foam may be okay again, because A, she does it, and it's not him, and it's not B.S. Kol Ha'aretz, meaning it's still B.S. Kol Ha'aretz, and B, again, it's not 100%. So you leave that possibility. But, so therefore, condoms would be a problem, diaphragm is a whole shiloh. Okay. Now we're going to discuss something, B.S. Shalo Kedarka. We're going to discuss two kinds of it. Okay? And in general, we're going to discuss sexual positions now. Okay. Bia shalo kedarka refers to anal sex. And in general, I'm going to tell you that most forbid it. Even those who don't forbid it say it's not proper. But when I say what does it mean we forbid it, I'm going to qualify that in a second. Okay? The range of shitot in terms of what you could do together as a couple range from only meaning there's a few issues at play. Okay, number one is that we don't want the wasting of the sperm. Okay, so if the sperm has to end up inside the woman. Okay, so some of the shitot say, therefore, that is the only thing that's allowed. Okay. And some of them say, okay, we could do other things first, but you have to be careful when you get to that point where you're going to release, and at that point, make sure to change positions and enter her vaginally, so that's the only thing that happens.
Okay.
The mainstream sock is that one. Okay.
Is the one where as long as you...
No, that only that one. Okay, sorry. Now, all the positions, front, back, anyway, as long as you're doing that, wonderful. The ideal, both in terms of tradition and possibly in terms of getting pregnant, etc. And in fact, this is where the name Baal comes from. It doesn't come from owning her. It comes from Baal. She is on her back, and you are on top of her.
Okay.
And you enter her that way. That is the main traditional psak. When I did my course Hadrachat Chatanim to be a chassan teacher from Moatza Datit Gush Etzion, a person came and said to all of us, stop it. Finished. I've heard of all these chassanim, chassan teachers telling their chassanim that they can only have vaginal intercourse. Stop telling them that. We've reached the point where our men need, as there's so many things going on in the world, as long as it's the husband and wife consensually doing things together, then just leave it. Tell them that's okay because they're doing it together and growing together and loving together. And in general, fine. That was a very, very extreme view. I tell you that view so you know it exists. And what I'm going to talk about now is probably closer to the first view, with a little bit leaning nod to understanding what that view is about. Okay? And that is what I'm going to say is that definitely the majority, the most of what you do has to be straightforward vaginal intercourse. And the majority of that time, it should be with her on the bottom and you on top. Okay? Now, when we, even staying within vaginal intercourse, when you can change positions, if it's more comfortable for both one or both of you, if you enjoy it more, etc., if those are the reasons, then it's always allowed to always do that. Okay? To just mix it up in the gavain, so then the ideal is that one, and mix it up the gavain, so in other words, a smaller percentage of the time. But if it's uncomfortable doing it that way for both of you, and you want to change the other way, go for it. As long, you know, completely vaginal intercourse, you're not going to find any posek who has a problem within any position. Okay? The Gemara has a mashal of a person who buys a piece of meat from the store, and he can fry it, and he can roast it, and he can barbecue it, and he can bake it, and he can bread it, etc. You know, any way he wants to eat it, so fine. That's the line of the Gemara. Now, how you interpret that line in the Gemara, does it just refer to the different ways of penetrating her in the normal way, meaning vaginal intercourse, or what else is included? That's a little bit of what our discussion is here today. Okay, now I'm going to introduce another issue, and it's going to play into our discussion here. Okay? Okay, but the first issue we discussed was Shechvat Zara Levatala, and meaning... And so, Bia Shalokidarka, meaning if you penetrate her anally or orally, and you release, if you ejaculate in those parts, then that is a waste. Okay? That is clear the Kolashit.
That is
Hashkafat Zara. That is Hashkafat. Okay. But the question is that a problem or not? So according to what he was saying, don't tell them it's a problem because it's the couple doing it together. Okay, that was what he was saying.
And that is a view that is
chiddush to me. I haven't seen any reputable posik say that in print.
Okay, this is someone who is authorized to say this to you.
Apparently. Okay, but you're going to see where I'm going to go with this though. Okay, there's another issue we have. And that is, there's an issue with what you can see on each other. Okay? As in, we said you can see in a previous one, we mentioned you could see any part of her body and she could see any part of your body. But we had an issue with gazing, or extended looking at a certain part of your body and a certain part of her body. Okay? So, when it comes to oral, that could entail extended looking at. So for that, there's a solution. Being under the blanket in the dark. Okay? So that part we solved. But, on the other hand, we haven't solved the Hashchatat Zara Levatala. Okay? So therefore, in that regard, I think that the way to go is, once again, the majority of the time, 99% of the time, is vaginal. Okay? To ligavein, to mix it up, different positions, etc., sitting, lying down, all different ways, front, back, rearrange yourselves. You'll have an exciting life, ligavein your whole life, and it should always be exciting. The best, the one that I can sleep at night knowing that a person's going to do it because I was matured for them, is that if they do try either anal or oral, it'll just be as a little bit of foreplay, meaning not to finish, and they're careful not to finish in anywhere but vaginally, meaning that they'll stop and pull out and finish the appropriate, proper way. Because I don't endorse what that rabbi was saying, which is that as long as most of the time they're doing it the normal way, once in a while doing the other way, as in finishing orally or finishing anally, so that's what he seemed to be implying. I mean, that's what he said. I don't endorse that. But I mention it so you understand the range here and what we're aiming for halachically and hashkafically. Okay? Fine. Generally, we said that there's 2 days of fertile time during ovulation, and zera can last around 72 hours. So, which means, basically, that there's 5 days on which she can get pregnant. Okay. Fine. Back to your wedding night. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the wedding night. You might be exhausted. So you might be inclined, as excited as you are, and I know this sounds like I've been waiting all this time to have relations even once, why would I push it off anymore? A lot of people don't want to do it that first night. Just lie in bed holding each other, fall asleep, exhausted in each other's arms. It's wonderful. I don't recommend discussing this in advance, but such a thing could happen. The shach railed against couples who decide, let's just get to know each other and not have relations, and therefore they can spend together a few days together without having to separate. So, we don't intend on 4 or 5 days which the Shach railed against. But not having to do the first night, you know, you could sleep late in the morning, and then the two of you could be together in the morning and then separate. Or just the next night, when you're more rested, and you had another Sheva Brachos, and you had to drink the wine. So then do it again the second night, okay? So that's allowed. You don't have to feel urgent pressure that you have to consummate your relationship the first night. But don't plan, like the Shach said, don't plan on it taking 4 or 5 days. But an extra day, that's okay. If you do wait, we make believe it was done the first night. As in, you don't hold hands at your Sheva Brachos and pass each other things, etc. That's you go through the motions publicly of Harchakot as though on your first night you did consummate the wedding. Let's say you decided not to consummate the wedding the first night, or you didn't have a chance and she's Poris Nido. Okay, which, again, if she's on a pill, shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But just, okay, so the Rama says opportunity is enough for Heter Yichud. Meaning if you've already done Yichud long enough and you could have been able to do it, so that's enough in order for us to, remember we said Libo Gaspa and Papasalo, so that's enough for us to allow you to not do it. Because if she is Poris Nida, before you've had the opportunity, or a chupa nida, we have special rules about that. And one of those rules is that you're not allowed to be yichud together. So what you have to do is you have to sleep apart in separate rooms. So that can be embarrassing. So, you know, you try to tell as few people as possible. One of the things you do is somebody comes for a sleepover. Usually like an 8-year-old, 9-year-old. Mm. You're in one room with him, sleepover with you, and your wife's in the other room. It's not a great situation. It's also not the end of the world. Right. Okay?
It's just the first week.
Okay, just the first week. It too will pass. Many years later, you'll look back and laugh at the absurdity of the situation. Okay? Now we... It's not on enough?
No, I think we turn it down.
Turn it down, yeah. You can open the door. meaning, we try to avoid it because it's not gonna work, because it's not a great situation, but
it's not the end of the world.
Exactly. Okay. There's a concept called Roa Machma Tashmish, as in somehow there are women who having relations causes them to bleed or causes them to come nida. Okay.
Okay.
This was discussed by the Gemara and Poskim extensively. The Shach says this doesn't exist.
Okay.
Okay. So, like I said, because of this Shach, so we think it doesn't exist. But the Igros Moshe says, even though we paskin like the Shach, ra'oi v'nachon the following. After you're sure the Dam Betulim are gone, meaning you were together that wedding night, let's say there was blood, and the next month you're together the first time, if there's blood, so not that time, okay? But if there's no blood, and it's great, and then, I don't know, the next night, you know, because you're young newlyweds, and we're going to discuss frequency, but young newlyweds definitely as often as they like, okay? So, meaning, and when they're mutter, but as often as they like when they're mutter, and consensual. So then, when there's no Dam Betulim, now she should do a Bedika the first 3 times, when you're sure.
When you're sure that there's no Dam Betulim left, to do Bedika for the
next after three. Tashmish. And then, if there's no blood, then she's fine the rest of her life. Okay? 3 Bedika. How some understand that, some say the next 3 times, some say the first time for 3 months. Okay, but 3 Bedika should be done after Tashmish, at some point when you're sure the Dam Betulim are gone, to make sure she's not a Roa Machma Tashmish. Because Roa Machma Tashmish was this little bit of a nightmare scenario, because the solution of the Gemara was that you had a divorce. Because this woman couldn't stay married. Because if you can't have relations without her becoming Nida, then she can't stay married. So again, we don't really think that exists. And the Gemara discusses going to doctors and the doctor checking you out and you're mutter each other if the doctor does this test with a tube, etc., the whole thing. So again, we don't want to have to deal with going to the doctors and doing those things, but that could be a solution if that happens. But Roy V'Nachon, the Igros Moshe says, we hold like the Shach, it doesn't exist. But Roy V'Nachon do these checks. Some are in Choshesh, and if you feel that the marriage is rocky, you also don't have to be Choshesh. Okay. I mentioned that some remove the hymenal ring with a doctor after Bia Rishona, so that that second month there isn't a problem with Bia. The Igros Moshe, in fact, explicitly says that doing that doesn't make her Nida, even if there's some blood from it. Okay? It could be tough getting in to her on the wedding night because she's not relaxed. And throughout your life, it could happen based on time of the month, meaning if it's the, you know, different how aroused she is, etc. Okay? The best way to be able to penetrate her is with her own bodily fluids. Okay? That comes from her being aroused. So for women, that's emotional, putting her in the mood with, you know, all your romantic moves on her, okay? And that's also the foreplay, all the rubbing and massaging of all parts of her body, okay? And telling her how much you love her and turning her on in that way, okay? That's the best way. That's not always, especially when you're inexperienced, an option. So then we need something called a lube, a lubricant, okay? There's one called KY jelly. There's many lubricants. So you should always, including on your wedding night, always have one on hand. When you go away for Shabbos and you want to be, and it's the right time of month, you want to be together, you bring it with you in your bag. You always need this, because you don't want it to get ruined by not being able to enter her. You have to be sure that this lubricant you used isn't a spermicidal one. They make both. Every brand makes both, I think. Okay, you have to be sure it's not a spermicidal one. That, again, has that halachic issues. Second, it could be messy. So you're going to want to, for the actual act of penetration, put a towel under her. Okay. This is true throughout your life. In your own home, it's true because after you're done and you want to go to bed, you don't want to puddle in your bed, and or to ruin your sheets. When you're in somebody else's home, you don't want to leave a trail, let them know what you've done. Okay, we try to hide it. The only time that's not true is if you happen to be in a hotel on your wedding night, and you consummate your on a wedding night, so there's no need to hide that you've had relations on your wedding night. Okay? Because kulam yodim kalalam nefasa, so on, at the hotel on your wedding night, you can do that. But otherwise, anytime on your anniversaries and whatever, and you go to a hotel, you're supposed to bring a towel. Just, okay? Not a white towel. Okay? Next. There is a myth. And it's a myth. I emphasize that it's a myth that Jews have relations through a sheet. Let me tell you how much of a myth it is. If a person says, I will only have relations through a sheet, it's grounds through for divorce. Okay? We force them to divorce. Okay? The Pasuk says, Vayulif Sarecha, they become one. Okay? So there is no sheet with a little hole in it for you to just touch in one spot, a myth. I don't know where anybody, I have like one idea where they got an idea from. We're going to see that soon. But it's just not true. It's not allowed. Okay?
If we take a break, I need to use the bathroom.
Okay. Okay, so the sheet is a myth. Next. During the act of intercourse, you have to be naked. Now, I do get shaylas in terms of temperature and comfort level. Sometimes, oh, I want to keep on my sock. I want to whatever. So, yes, it's allowed. the ideal, but some people think, oh, I've been taught to be tzanua my whole life, so I want to keep on my shirt. No. Don't think that it's tznius to be anything but naked. Naked is the most tzanua way to be for the act of intercourse, because tznius has to do with more than how you're dressed. Tznius has to do with how you're acting. When you show that the intercourse isn't just a quick act, do it and done and go, I'm just doing this and I'm leaving somewhere, but rather, I'm alone, nowhere else in the world I want to be, nowhere else I have to be, nothing else in my mind, just me and you here in this bedroom alone and that's it, there's nothing else, and I'm not going anywhere, that is actually the most tzanua way. And being naked shows that. If you're half-dressed, it's like I'm halfway out the door. So being naked shows that it was an intended act of the couple being together alone, growing together.
Is this... It's not halachic. Is this halachic, or is this a really, really good suggestion?
It's not halachic that you have to be... that you can't have any clothing. You can have some clothing. But if you're clothed, it is halachic. Again, ani bevigdi vihi bevigda is again grounds for divorce if that's what a person is insisting on in terms of, like, we would force the woman to divorce without her ksuba, we would force the guy to divorce and give the ksuba, etc. Okay? If they both want it, is halachic? I don't know. Okay? That's already a shaila.
Okay.
But, yeah. The ideal is that you're supposed to be naked, and that's how you get comfortable with each other and hold each other and grow. Okay. In terms of time, we don't do 5-minute relations. Okay? There's a minimum of 30 minutes. An hour is better. Okay? That means everything, all involved, all the foreplay, hugging, holding each other, most of it before, a little bit after, that you're not done and then leave. Okay, that's how it's supposed to be. Okay, timing. The Gemara makes a comment a few places that relations are supposed to be at night. But then the Gemara says a few times, "Bebayit afel mutter." Okay? So, what is it about night? So there's two factors involved here. Okay? One is in terms of darkness, okay? And one is in terms of, again, it being you two, and that's the whole world at that moment. Okay, you have nothing else going on. According to some, it's that you won't hear anybody else walking by, because if a woman walks by and you hear her voice, you might think of her. Okay, so that's according to some. It could be that nobody's going to interrupt you. Nobody's going to knock on your door because it's nighttime. Okay? And there's discussions in the Gemara, what time of night we're talking about, like, when mothers get up to feed their babies, according to one meaning, so that could be like 1, 2 a.m. meaning. So there's an idea of it, just none of that is literal. There's an idea, in other words, of it being late enough at night that you're alone and nobody's going to disturb you. Okay. So, that being said, if you're by Rafim, okay, I know many people have told me that, meaning not many people, I've heard it twice, that the best time for them, meaning I got Chilo, so best time for them is Shabbos afternoon, Friday night, they're usually whatever, son. Yes, it's mother. Hashem made Trisim. In this country, it's much easier. Trisim make your room very dark. Okay? That's mother. Okay? You go on vacation in Bahamas and wherever you are, and you can put a do not disturb sign in your room and nobody's going to bother you there, and it's during the day, of course, enjoy. It's your honeymoon. The honeymoon isn't the most Jewish concept because right after your wedding night you have to separate. But okay, you can have a honeymoon shortly after your Shev Brachos, like a little later, and then it's fine. So of course, during the day, at night, nobody's bothering you, you're alone, that's fine. Okay? So there's an ideal time in terms of, again, having a block of time where nothing else is going on, and that's why nighttime makes sense. But we can create those circumstances even not at night. That's when you're alone, when it's dark, etc. There's no Isser Dibor. So, you know, there's no rule you have to be, you can't talk. You can talk. In fact, you should talk a lot, tell her how much you love her, etc. We use Lashon Naki. Okay? No dirty words, etc. But you can say that feels good or to describe certain something that either of you wants the other to do. We have a rule that during the actual penetration, during the actual act of intercourse, not the foreplay, there is no direct light. Okay? Indirect light is allowed. So you can have a lamp on in the corner of the room, but the lights in the room can't be on for the act of intercourse. But they can be on during all the foreplay. Okay? So what you're not going to want to do, though, is have to stop. So if you don't have a light switch next to your bed, so we recommend doing all the foreplay already with the lamp on. So you have the lamp on, and you can see each other for all the foreplay, etc. Foreplay includes everything that you would do as foreplay, meaning including, and this is a nice form of foreplay, I don't recommend it on your wedding night, but showering together. Showering together, you don't have to have the lights off in the shower. You're just going to touch each other, you know, enjoy each other, and investigate each other, but you're not going to do the act of intercourse there. And then when you get to bed, so then with no direct light, a little bit of light on this side. Again, this thing about night and the day is also about the norm. The norm is that it shouldn't be done even during the day, even in a permissible manner. The ideal is that, in general, maybe once in a while. We said the norm, again, should be the wife on the bottom and you two facing each other. Again, it's a norm. Here's where I think possibly the sheet myth could have come from. During the actual act of intercourse, not for the whole foreplay, again, because in the shower this isn't going to apply, you'll see what I'm about to say when it makes sense in the shower. You have to be under a blanket together, or a sheet. You have to be covered. Klapei Shemaya. Okay? During the actual one act of penetration. Okay? So all the loving and hugging and whatever else that you're doing doesn't have to be covered. There's different people have different levels of tznius for that too. You could be covered, meaning with a blanket over you, not between you. That's the difference between the myth and the halacha. The myth is that there was something between them and they're not really touching. No, you're supposed to guf echad, can't touch every part of the body together. Wrap yourselves with each other, but under a blanket for, especially for that part. Like I said, the norm is on the bottom facing each other, derech harai, front to back is okay, sitting is okay. Okay. Hasanim asked me about frequency. Okay. The Mishnah and the Gemara have a discussion how often you're supposed to have relations. Okay, and the Mishnah lists based on different occupations how often you're supposed to have relations. And as in, if you're a sailor who is only home every 6 months, so your wife is only expecting to have relations with you only every 6 months. If you're a person who is home all the time, your wife may have expectations of relations with you a few times a week. And there's people who it's once every 2 weeks, and once a month, and whatever. And the Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim Mishamshim Mitoteim L'Shabbos L'Shabbos, every Friday night. When they're mutter at each other, Friday night, mitzvah night. Okay, that's what Onik Shabbos is. Not having candy, we said. Okay? So, that was what Talmidei Chachamim is. That's a level to aspire to. Rav Shlomo Levi, in his Sefer Shari Ora, says that standard now of Talmidei Chachamim Shamshim Mitoteim Friday night to Friday night, Bizmanazeh, based on all the other stimulations, billboards, level of dress, people we see, and everything that we're living through in society, he says, even Talmidei Chachamim should not be less than twice a week.
Wow.
Meaning, twice a week is fine, but not less than twice a week. At least twice a week.
When they're mutter.
When they're mutter to each other. Okay? And that's Talmidei Chachamim. Okay? Meaning, proper people. Manshin. We have statements of Chazal that you shouldn't be available to each other like chickens, just constant. That doesn't mean when you're newlyweds. Again, I said newlyweds the first month, the second month, third month. May you be newlyweds your whole life, okay? And you're going to constantly want that, okay? It's natural for it to peter off a little bit, okay? But that first few months, you're going to want every night, every other night. That's normal, healthy, wonderful, allowed.
Recommended.
Okay? Recommended. True. But on when you're going to get to a normal life goes on schedule, so then that's where we have the frequency of about twice a week. Now, there are couples who want spontaneity. So every once in a while it'll be more than twice a week. It'll be, okay, spontaneity can be on different nights of the week. Okay, there's some couples who want the structure, you know, and some new couples, maybe let's have a schedule because it could be awkward. Do you want to do it tonight? Do I want to, you know, in each one? So maybe we have a schedule, and then they know to mentally prepare themselves and everything, and then there's no shattered expectations. Oh, I was hoping to do it tonight. Why don't you want to do it tonight, etc.? So all those things are possible and normal. Okay. I saw a cartoon, like a drawn cartoon of two boxes. One box was labeled men, and one box was labeled women. The men had one button, on, off, like a light switch. The woman had 50 dials and gadgets and gizmos and meters. Okay? And that cartoon is very true. There is basic meaning. A lot of things might feel good for you, and you might enjoy the idea of it. There's really, really one feeling, one part of your body that feels good and that sexually arouses you. Okay? It's very simple, and it's on or off. It either is awake or isn't, and it's done. Okay? Women, not so. They have all sorts of parts of their body that could make them feel good, and you touch them there, and they'll like it, and it'll send all sorts of messages, all sorts of her body, and like I said, the best lubricant is her natural one, and you touch her in one part of her, and it's going to make her moist in another part of her. And that is the wonder of the human body, and it's really a wonder because one night something could be good, and one night it can't be good, meaning it could not be good. And it could change night to night, and month to month, etc. You may start to notice patterns that this is always good at the beginning of the month, this is always good at the end of the month, etc. That's part of what keeps life interesting, and may you continue to explore and enjoy all these new areas together, but you have to understand that that's, okay, so maybe part of it is to ask, what's good, does this feel good, etc. If your wife wants relations, you have what's called the mitzvah of ona. If your wife wants you to be a tzaddik, she could give you lots of mitzvahs. Okay? That's when she wants it. It's one way, though. When you want it, she has no mitzvah of ona. Okay? She may want to. She may want to make you happy. And if she never does it, that's a different problem. And then that's a violation of other things. But there's a mitzvah of ona of you fulfilling your wife's sexual needs, wants, and desires. Okay? We are not allowed to have relations. It's usher if you are considering divorce. You're not allowed to have relations when you're angry. You are not allowed to have relations if either one of you is drunk. Okay, we believe in consent. No marital rape. No rape of any kind, but no marital rape. Okay? That doesn't mean that you went out for your anniversary dinner and you had a glass of wine and you're a little bit tipsy, lightheaded. No, that's allowed. But if one of you is at the point where you can't really make these decisions, then you're not allowed to have relations like that. We discussed keeping it a secret. That's both in terms of the towel and not leaving a mess. It's also in terms of the quiet. If there are neighbors and thin walls, then you shouldn't be having noisy relations. If you're all alone, then go ahead. But in general, you have to, there's only a certain decibel level you're allowed to do it. Again, keeping it a secret isn't an issue on the wedding night in the hotel, in terms of the towel. You should praise her and shower her with love throughout the whole masa. In the room where you have relations, there can't be svarim that are uncovered. Okay, where svarim need two coverings, we're makel to the cover of the book being one of them. So that's an issue in your bedroom where you live. That's an issue when you're guest somewhere. So as a ben adam lechavero, your guest room shouldn't have svarim either. If you're going to have couples stay there, that's not fair to them either. So they can't have svarim there. So they have to be covered. There's a problem covering svarim on Shabbos with a sheet. It's called putting up a mechitza. We don't do that on Shabbos.
Not on Shabbos.
Right. So if you go to a guest room for Shabbos and you get there and you're planning on being together the night, you look around the room and you see if there's svarim, and if there are, you cover them up before Shabbos. Now, they don't have to be covered before Shabbos, but the cover has to be there. This is not in the halachas of need, this is in the halachas of ohel. But in other words, if you hang a sheet, so the sheet doesn't be draped down, so everybody knows, but you have the sheet up there, in other words, hang the sheet, and then you can roll it up, because the curtain can be rolled up, and then when you're going to be together, you drape it down, but meaning it has to be in place there already. The Gemara Shabbos even refers to that as a mechitza materet, that it's a problem making one on Shabbos. Okay. There's a... You don't say Kriya Shema on your wedding night.
I don't need to, or I don't?
You don't. So therefore you don't need to. Briskers. Never say hamapil because of a chashash that might not sleep. So with that in mind, one of the discussions people always have is, I was taught that when I say hamapil, I can't talk afterwards. So when I'm going to go to bed, I need to say Kriyat Shema on Hamapil, but then I want to be with my wife, I want to talk to my wife, what do I do? Okay, so Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, Rav of Alon Shfut Arom, former Rav in this yeshiva, had a brilliant answer. And he said, talking to your spouse is part of going to sleep. Okay, so you could say Hamapil and talk afterwards. Okay, or you can... There are the shita that you're allowed to talk after a mapil. That's the other solution. Okay? But even if you want to be close to the solutions, then you're not allowed to talk after a mapil. Right? Especially because briskers were to the point that they wouldn't say a mapil because they might not sleep in the Ravavatal and you shouldn't be talking afterwards, etc. So if you want to be close to that one, so then we have Rav Yatz's heter that
you can
talk to your spouse as part of it. Okay. After relations, in order to do any Darush Bekdusha, especially Kriyat Shema, you need Netilas Yadayim. So therefore, the recommendation is, if you're planning on going to bed right after, is that you say Shema first. Because you don't want to have to get up, wash your hands, and come back to bed to say Shema. But after Bia, Kriyat Shema needs Netilas Yadayim. In the morning, when you wake up, needs Netilas Yadayim. Whatever you do, afterwards, needs Netilas Yadayim. If you ever have it in the afternoon, on a Shabbos afternoon, like I said, so when you get up, you need to tell us your dying before mincha or whatever. Okay. Mikvah night. We don't reveal mikvah night. Okay? We consider that one of the times you're allowed to lie. I've had friends who discovered years later that their parents had these elaborate series of lies. You know, one kid told me his mom invented this girl that she visited as a chesed, and little kids weren't allowed to visit. I don't know, their immune system or something, or the kid didn't like other kids or something. And she would go there once a month, and I don't know, bring her things. And, you know, so that's when you have to, and you have kids, and you have usually, like, I don't know, the number of times I've had a lie, like, I probably count for this, I could probably count on one hand, because usually, without lying, you could figure, you know, we're just busy. You know, knowing people either assume it, and then what are you going to do? It's not your problem. Or they're not, and then, you know, then you're just busy, because you have something else going on. People are busy for 1,000 reasons. Okay?
Wednesday night bowling.
Yes, Wednesday night bowling. Okay. Mikveh night, very clearly, is, I know I said it's at the end of Shiva's Nikiyim. That means that it's on the 8th night. It's not on the 7th night. It's on the 8th night, the 8th day, essentially, at night.
Okay.
We have a concept called Srach Bita, which means you are going to corrupt your daughter. What does that mean? We don't go to mikvah during the day because your daughter is going to think that you could go to mikvah during the day. Meaning she's going to remember her mother, when she was a kid, went to mikvah during the day, and she's going to think, ah, I could go to the mikvah during the day, and she's going to end up going when? On day 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so therefore, even day 8, we don't go to mikvah during the day.
You go during the night.
Okay, we go during the night.
Or if you don't have
if there's a real tzorech to go during the day, then ask a shayla. Okay?
You don't have dollars.
If you don't have dollars?
Daughters.
Daughters. Yeah, so low plug. Low plug. Even if you have no kids, we don't go. Okay? Bet. Good question. We have an extreme heter for a kala or somebody who lives far from the mikvah. And their mikveh night is Friday night, and Motzei Shabbos is Yontif, etc. So then we allow them to go to mikveh during the day. So like I said, a kala is one of those times if we need. Usually they just find our time at night. A special kala mikveh, by the way, and an alon shvut is really nice. I took a tour of it. Like when I did Hilchos Mikvahs, I got a tour of the mikveh here. And with Rosh Shlomo Levi and Rosh Motza and like a bunch of people, like it was a big group during the day. There were no women in it, but we saw like it's a, like a spa, beautiful mikveh, like instead of 20 shekel that the mikveh normally costs on a weeknight, so it's like 30 shekel, and just book it in advance so you get the time that she wants. And Alon Shvut isn't the only one. There are other yeshivim that have nice kala, like a separate kala mikveh. So just something to be aware of, especially since you're getting married so close to Alon Shvut, something to consider. But we said those heterim to like far Friday night and Motzei Shabbos is Yontif, so then she could go during the day on Friday, so the husband can't see her until Tzeit. So in other words, he has to go to shul and she can go home, or she has to stay out of the house and he's home, meaning they can't see each other until Tzeit. If it's dangerous at night, we may also do it. There's some hotly contested understanding of an Igros Moshe that it applies any Friday night. I can't understand the Igros Moshe that way, but I've heard people say it. Okay. We have a concept called Tvila Bizmana.
Okay.
Okay, as in, if it's Mikvah night, she's supposed to go. Meaning if it's after day 7, she's supposed to go. The Shulchan Aruch said, This is on halachic and hashkafic level. The Zohar has all sorts of, you know, mystical ideas, terrible things that it's really wrong of her to push off in any way, etc. First of all, Zabein Adam L'Chavero, the guy has been waiting 12 days, 13 days, 14 days, whatever it is, in order to be with her, etc. It's not nice. But beyond that, even if that weren't a factor, so then there's all these hashkafic factors as well. The Zohar, as I said, the Shulchan Aruch says, this rule is only if the husband is in town. As in, if she's up to the night and the husband's not there, it doesn't apply. But the problem is, in the Shulchan Aruch's time, if he wasn't in town, the likelihood of him being back in town wasn't as high. Nowadays, travel is pretty fast.
Right.
So I think Bizmana Zeh, with easy travel, this doesn't apply, as in, she always has to do Tefillah Bizmana. If he is there, so the Rishalmi in fact says it's usher to wait.
It's usher to wait.
Okay. There are some who have a minhag not to go on Friday night if it's not Zmana. As in, for some reason, she didn't go on the right night, And now she pushed it off a night, and now it's Friday night. So some have a minhag to not go. I think we paskin to go anyway. So unless you know that you have such a minhag, go anyway. You should have gone on the first night. You didn't go for some reason. You go the next night.
Okay.
It is the husband's responsibility that the mikvah is nice and clean, and that they choose to live in a place where the mikvah is nearby, and that the balanid is nice and polite. If she comes home and complains about it, it's your job to take care of that.
Okay.
Tvila has to be without a chatzitza and all her body. B'li chatzitza kol gufa. Midoraita, a chatzitza is something that is on rove of her body, and she's makpid on it. That's midoraita a chatzitza. For example, if chas v'shalom she has a body cast and it's due off, so she's had it on 6 weeks, 8 weeks, however long it's supposed to be, and now it's supposed to do, she couldn't get an appointment today, and so the appointment they got is in 2 days. So now it's due off. She doesn't want it on, and it's covering most of her body. That's called ruv and makfid. That's a chatzitza doraita. She can't go to mikvah. Midah Rabbanan is either one of those, as in miut umakpid, even if it's something only on a little bit of her body, like just on one finger, but it's something she doesn't want. Again, she has a cast on just her hand, something like that. So
something she doesn't want, meaning like if it's something that she does want, then
that's not makpid. Okay, makpid means that she doesn't want it there. If she has some kind of bruise, blister that she's trying to scrape off, or ink that she doesn't want there, that's called makpid. Okay?
And if she has a ring on?
So we're going to get to the ring in a second. Okay? So one is called miut and still makpid, that's asur midrabanan. And one is rove and not makpid is also asur midrabanan. Something that covers most of her body, but she doesn't care about, is still asur midrabanan. So what's not asur? Something that's a miut and not makpid on. Now, you give the ring, which would seem to be the great example, because it's mute, mm-hmm. It's covering like 1/1000th of her body, and not only is she not makpid on it, she likes it there.
Right.
But God bless all benos klai yisrael, the minhag in klai yisrael is to not tovah with a ring.
Okay. But let's say a bracelet.
Same idea, the minhag is to not tovah with any of those things.
The minhag is to
remove all those.
So earrings, even a minhag and not makpid, still take it all.
Certainly lecharchila, yes.
Minhag rov bnei Yisrael.
Yes. But chip nail polish. So most women don't like chip nail polish, so they would want it off. Meaning, if they had all their nail polish, so they would, that would seem to be, again, miut.
And
not makpid, because they like it. I went to the beauty parlor and got it done, and it's beautiful. But again, the minhag is no polish, even if it's not rove and not makpid. Okay? To the point that, let's say she went to mikvah and forgot that she had her nails nicely done, and since it was so nicely, meaning it wasn't with color, but it was the clear one, so, and she went and she came home and realized that, oh no, I had nail polish on when I went to mikvah. We tell her to go back to mikvah and do it again. But, because I told you the rule is that miut and anal makpid is allowed, if you had bia already,
you're fine.
You're fine. We tell her not to go back. We don't like to cast aspersions on any bia you've already done if it fits the guidelines of miut and makpid. Miut and anal makpid.
Halachically. If it fits halachically, then we're
okay. Before going into the mikvah, she needs to bathe at least a half an hour. There are things she has to do in addition to bathing, and she's allowed to multitask them. Okay, she needs to brush her teeth, floss, etc. She needs to cut her nails. She needs to comb her hair through thoroughly. There shouldn't be knots. There shouldn't be things in it. Something has to be started before Shkia, in terms of this prep. So, when Shkia is at 7, 8, and 9, so it's not a problem. You start before Shkia.
Oh, any part of this process.
Yes. When Shkia is at 4 and she's at work, so then what do we do? So she should neshasat chak. She can't go to the bathroom and do something, floss, whatever. So she should at least look at her nails and see, oh, I have to cut that nail.
Okay, and that's
neshasat chak, that's something. But she should at least start before Shkia, and the idea is to not rush. If you start before Shkia, you're not rushing, because the mikvah tends to be open like an hour or two after it gets dark. So you should be starting the prep beforehand. Okay. When mikvah night is on Shabbos, Friday night, the entire inspection is before Shkia. Everything. So that when she gets to the mikvah, because remember, the Balanit wants to go home to her family. So she gets to the mikvah, all she has to do is a light chafifa, just checking herself for case of hair from the robe, from the clothes, whatever went on her, and go in. In other words, everything is done before Shabbos, so that Shabbos, she can just pat herself down and dunk. We say the same thing is true also on Motzei Shabbos. But on Motzei Shabbos, you probably have to do a little bit more. But in other words, the majority of the stuff she has to do, like cutting her nails, should all be done before Shabbos. And once he's Shabbos, she could just do a quick check. She may have to brush her teeth and floss an extra time. But in other words, the majority of stuff was done before Shabbos. We have the tefillah has to be with an open body, with loose eyes and lips. That doesn't mean open eyes or open mouth. But it shouldn't be tight lips, then water can't get there. And it shouldn't be tight eyes, then water can't get there. But it can be closed eyes.
Okay.
We said that she should cut up her nails, so we say to the finger.
Okay.
Okay. There are different women who, I'm told, were some people, like, if you cut it to the finger, it's too far, you know, the people have different hands in the world. Okay. Surprising. So to cut them, that there's nothing extra there, because that would be the chatzitza again. Because that's makpid. In other words, if the nail is uneven, more than extra. Okay. If there's a scab, you should soak the scab and then rub it off. Don't make them bleed. Okay. Ink, we try to remove. Okay. Sometimes a person has a drop of ink on the, you know, pen mark on their hand. They don't care. That's mute and ain't no makpid. We try to remove it. It doesn't come off. Finished. Okay. The day of the mikvah, she should not paint. And she should not eat meat, but chicken's allowed, meaning beef.
Okay.
And she shouldn't eat stringy food. And she shouldn't use conditioner in her hair. Okay. Before going into the mikvah, she needs to go to the bathroom. Okay. Now this has to do with the whole cleaning her mouth and cleaning out her insides. We have a rule of kol haroi, as in, it has to be that had it gone in there, there would be nothing blocking. The water doesn't have to get in there. Okay, that's true about your mouth and about your insides. In the mikvah, she dunks, says a bracha, dunks again, says the yiratzon, dunks again. We said you're allowed to lie to be in the mikvah in secret. And that's basically it. So, you know, it's a very exciting time, and you should use this. It's a big gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Isha Isha Zachu Shechina B'neihem. Where does Hashem want His Shechina? In the bedroom, above a couple. There's people who talk to Hashem. They daven at some point during the an act of intercourse. It may not be the most romantic thing in the world unless it's romantic to the two of you to daven for what you want to daven for, another kid, etc. So maybe do it towards the end or something. It doesn't matter. But that's, you have the Shechina there. What an opportunity. Where does Hashem want a Shechina? On a couple who is keeping Taras HaMishpacha, keeping the mitzvah, turning. Okay? The Hashem gave us this pleasure. It's very, very enjoyable. People love it. And it's really a gift from the Rabbanu Shalom, and there are religions that ban all pleasures, and the religion, and there's not lack of religions, hedonists, just everything is allowed. Judaism isn't a yes or no. It's a yes but religion. As in, if you channel Gashmias, if you eat on Shabbos and for mitzvahs, then it becomes an act of Avodas Hashem. So too with what could be an animal act of having relations, it's all about, it can become an act of Avodas Hashem. It can become an act of growth or Kaddish Baruch Hu. That being said, one thing I have to warn is that sometimes it could take a few months for the couple to get there, and there could be issues, and don't be afraid to reach out to me or to help with anybody who needs it. But it's really a wonderful opportunity, and you two should grow together and learn to love each other more and more. And the more you do it together, the more you'll love each other, and the more mitzvos you'll be getting, and the closer you'll be growing, and the more you'll be bringing the Shechina into your home. And it's really, really incredible, and I wish you a lot of mazel, and Shbizocha to build the Bayis Neman B'Yisrael.